Today's Mass intention is being offered for Holy Family Parish. After Mass, all are invited to enjoy donuts and fellowship in Father Mormon Hall. If you are able, please help us to serve, set up, or clean up afterwards. Following Mass today, young adults are invited to gather in the Nazareth House behind the church for brunch and a gospel discussion. And visit the Aquinas Library at Holy Family Academy after Mass to check out a book. Save the date, our fall festival is around the corner, September 6th through the 7th. It'll be a weekend of community, of faith and fun in support of Holy Family Parish. The festival features food, a cash raffle, carnival games, bingo, a silent auction, and a used book sale, new this year. Our goal is to raise funds to cover operational costs for the parish. To learn more about this year's festival, see page 5 of today's bulletin. July 21st to the 25th and August 4th through the 8th, the church and the school buildings will be fully closed for special maintenance, including floor waxing. The church and school offices will be closed and no events will take place during that time. And lastly, this is the last week to get discounted early bird tickets to Smoker Poker, our annual fundraiser for Holy Family Academy. Men of the parish are invited to an evening of poker, bourbon, cigars, and good fellowship. Learn more on the parish website. Brothers and sisters, we are treated once more to the gospel story from St. Luke of the Good Samaritan. A familiar parable to us, and it's preceded by the great prophet Moses in the first reading, who reminds us of the Hebrew people of a similar great commandment. Because he says, "For this command that I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious or remote for you." How often when you think about these commandments of the Lord, they're too mysterious and too remote to apply to us or for us to do them well. Not so is both what Moses and St. Luke have to say. And much like the Mosaic Law, it is very straightforward. While Moses does not explicitly say it here, the Great Commandment is tied to the Mosaic Law. And we hear about it once more in Luke's Gospel. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." Moses was correct, wasn't it? It seems pretty clear, pretty straightforward, pretty explicit what we are to do. But I think we all have the rebuttal that says, "But Father Brent, it's not easy." No, it's not easy. All of my heart, all of my being, all of my strength, all of my mind, and all of my neighbors? Lord, you ask too much. I cannot do this. Surely not alone by myself, I cannot. The Lord makes very clear this great commandment is difficult to live by, and so he gives us the parable of the Good Samaritan. And I think to really appreciate it, what is a very familiar story to us all, I think it's important to understand the nature of the individuals, the nature of the characters in the parable. First, we have the victim, presumably Jewish. We hear he is beaten, robbed, and severely injured, left on the side of the road, presumably to die, and likely near death. And what we also don't hear when we understand this particular treacherous path was some 3,600 feet in elevation down from the holy city to Jericho, a very steep, treacherous path. One would be a fool to attempt at night, alone, oftentimes marked as being a favorite place of bandits and robbers. One shouldn't travel this alone, in the dark, unprepared. In some sense, we might say he warranted the attack, was not prepared. He was a bit foolish in his travel. Secondly, we observe the priest who passes by the injured man, of which we would all expect a higher standard of the priest. Why? Because he's supposed to be a scholar of the law and would surely understand the duty of the law to take care of others. And yet he passed him by. He missed the teaching. Next on the scene, we have the Levite of another Hebrew religious group, considered of the same countrymen, of which the man who had fallen down would have been of the same kind of country, like counties, if you will. He would have been of the same geographical territory. Somebody he might have known or supported as being like one of us, one of them. He would have been aware of the law, and yet he too didn't show compassion to one of his fellow men. And finally, the man from Samaria, who stops finally to meet the injured man. And for this reason, we come to know him as the Samaritan. But he is just a man from Samaria. Certainly, we use the term Samaritan, good Samaritan in modern English, transformed the meaning from this very parable to mean that one who is disposed to help the less fortunate. By his very example, you know, we understand this modern definition, but in and of himself, he is a contradiction, this man from Samaria, because they would have been antagonistic to the Jews. Of all the people to pass by, he would have been the least likely, should have been, to stop. And yet he's the one who stopped to help this man, and on top of that, he acted generously. Not only did he tend to the wounds, surely offered a spontaneous word of prayer, but he loaded him up on his animal and carried him to the local inn, where clearly the man had a connection to the innkeeper who had a trusted relationship to say, take care of him, and I will take care of more than you spend on him, and I will come back the next day. You have my word. How generous. This kind of compassion and mercy and generosity we would expect from somebody of tending a neighbor, a family member, a relative. But this was a stranger, and a man who should have been at odds with him as a Samaritan. And so here the point of the parable is made and the question is answered, who is your neighbor? Jesus' answer involves three things. Jesus tells us we must help any man in desperate need, even when he has brought the trouble on himself, as the traveler had done, treacherous a path at night by himself alone, known for bandits without protection. We might have said he had it coming. I think a clear example of this, and I think it's a difficult one, I think a lot of us feel the angst, the conflict in our hearts when we see people who are standing on the side of the road, panhandling, asking for money, and we observe the signs. We almost don't want to put our eyes upon the signs for fear of casting judgment or, frankly, seeing the sorrow of their life. And I think there's a tinge of us that, maybe rightly so, wonder perhaps, are you in this state because of your own doing, your own choices in life? You know, have you gotten to this place by yourself? And I think some of us pause in pitying this person, in acting charitably, in praying for this person, in stopping, and I dare say roll down the window to say hello, to offer support of some kind, because we think that it's somehow warranted they're on the side of the road, or you've placed themselves in this difficult situation. And somehow it's a caveat to my call to be compassionate. And Jesus is saying, no. Even when they have brought on the trouble of their life themselves, we are to be compassionate. And this is difficult. Any